And it's Ruminations Tuesday. Guess what today is? Tuesday, January the 15th in the year of our Lord 2013. And we describe this time together as a way of you, the listener, kind of eavesdropping in on two pastors. And the pastor with me today is our good friend, the Reverend Dr. Mark Smith. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Tom. How you doing today?
I'm doing fine.
It's cold, isn't it? Out there? Man.
Oh, is it? No, I came in the car. Did you walk?
No. No, but it's cold.
No. I was really doing pretty good because I leave a heated home to go into a heated car. I had my wife turn it on ahead of time, so it's perfect for me. And then she had a heated sandwich with a heated drink she gave me. And I came to the station, the KFUO, and it's heated.
So plus, you're filled with a lot of hot air today, aren't you?
Okay, that's lie number one. All righty, hot air, Mark and Tom are on. They have done a survey, and it shows a shift in American morality. Is that a surprise?
Oh, boy, that's no news, isn't it? That's not news.
No.
I mean, you know, everybody, anybody who has any moral sense at all can see this.
Yes, yes. And it occurred in 1973.
The abortion.
Yes.
The abortion.
That's when it really...
That's right. That's the anniversary this year,
isn't
it?
Yes, I know. Yeah, it's
Is
always
it 50
in January.
Years or 40 years?
40.
40 years.
So...
Boy, think of that. How many millions of kids?
No, ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Although... What was it? 1992, the Supreme Court had another ruling I was talking about that was, I didn't realize how important it was.
1992.
Where they ruled that the states have control over the abortion techniques, etc. And Time magazine has a wonderful article showing every state, all 50 of them, and what restrictions they have brought to abortion. Like in some states, you're not allowed to have an abortion until you see an ultrasound. Which is wonderful, because according to one of my pastoral friends...
That discourages a lot of...
95% of women change their mind.
Right. When you see that little baby in there,
yeah,
boy.
Yeah, they've been lied by the abortion.
Some states have to have that, huh? Where
yes.
Force them to see it. That's good.
Yeah. In fact, they have a wonderful little chart in Time magazine, and what it does, it goes through each of the various... For instance, not all states demand... parental notification. Can you imagine if your daughter had an abortion and you didn't know about it? So the reason we got into it is Time magazine, the title, 40 years ago, abortion rights activists won an epic victory with Roe v. Wade. They've been losing ever since.
Well, good.
Yes. And
let's keep them losing.
Yeah, well, because when they lose, they win. But I'm showing Mark the United States map, and at the top has which states have these various items. Parental notification, waiting period. A number of states, I didn't know this, they counsel the woman that the fetus has the ability to feel pain. Isn't that interesting?
Wow.
That's by law.
Well, good.
They have to know that. And ultrasound, it's really good. If we could get everybody to do an ultrasound, I think that would be a tremendous victory.
That would discourage about
for us.
Abortions.
Particularly, you know, in light of the fact of the terrible administration that we have right now. You know, we laugh or we feel bad about King Herod killing, you know, 12 to 15 babies maybe in Bethlehem. No, this administration kills far more.
Yeah. I think I saw the figure the other day. I think so far this past year, 333,000, something like that.
Yeah, yeah. Per year.
Yeah.
Yes.
And now, I think it comes to about 9,000 a day.
The church has had seven lusts that you are well familiar with, are you not? Since you practice them.
Seven deadly sins.
Seven deadly sins. Very good. And they are lust, gluttony, greed, sloth, wrath, envy, and pride. And I read that and I said, well, I'm pretty proud that I don't hardly do any of those. So... What's that? Lie to? Yes. Yeah, we're talking about lies.
Let's read those again. Lust, gluttony, greed, sloth, wrath, envy, and pride. You know, I think most people, when they think of the seven deadly sins, they think of things like murder, stealing.
Well, these could be the motivation behind that.
Them.
Like if you lust after a woman and kill her husband, you know, or you have greed. I just saw a Law and Order thing where one of the children killed the parents because they were changing their will to take her out of the will, you know. So these can cover, for example, don't we always say the real sin of Adam and Eve was pride?
That's right.
Yeah. I always say, what's at the center of sin?
But think about sloth.
No. What's at the center of sin?
I.
What's at the center of pride?
I.
And what's at the center of supercalifragilisticexpialidocious?
I'll guess.
No, it's K. Okay. I said that at a seminar, and I saw a girl start writing it out, and she counted the letters.
At least she didn't start singing it.
Well, that's for sure.
No, but do you think of sloth?
Oh, yes.
Sloth is as one of the seven deadly sins? I don't think most people.
Well, it depends what you mean
and
by
if that's
it.
If that's the case, there's a lot of us guilty of sloth.
Oh, absolutely. Because what's the modern word for it is probably procrastination.
Yeah.
That would be well, here's what the article is about. They say there's new partners in crime, and the main area where the crime occurs is the internet, which I found interesting.
Yeah, right.
Half of Americans say they are tempted to idle the hours away on the internet.
Boy, I can believe that. I'll tell you. You know, I know how much time you can waste going through your email. You know, we used to have just a stack of regular, we call it snail mail now. And you know how long it took to just go through that with all the junk mail and everything. Now you've got a list of email, and you know how that grows day by day. If you miss a few days of work, you come back and you got 80, 90 pieces of email. And who has time to go through all that? It's ridiculous.
I have like 6 emails I have to look at, and in one day I get 400 to 500.
And think of the time you can while away. I mean, really.
Well,
have to watch it, or it's time consuming.
I have a program that the scam, or spam, I should say.
Spam.
And so they take them out automatically. Plus, what I'm finding is I've got this advertisement from Dr. Oz, O-Z, about how to lose weight, and there were 16 in a row, all titled the same thing.
Right.
So now they're multiplying them. But fortunately, I have a big delete key.
Mm-hmm.
So out of the 400 to 500, there's probably only 30 of them I have to read. You know,
but I'll have to talk to you about eliminating some of that stuff because the thing is, some people are computer savvy, some people are like me, and you know, we take time going down the list and just check one by one, and get rid of them. That's time-consuming, too.
It is. There's a program called Kaspersky, and it automatically puts into spam. Mm-hmm. It recognizes spam, and so it just...
That's
cool. I'll talk to you later about that. But Office Max, they all sell those things.
The point is, this: you can while away the hours on a computer.
Well, it's worse than that. I knew when I was going through the sem of a pastor who was removed from the ministry because he spent all his time in woodworking.
Woodworking?
Yeah, down in the basement. He would have woodworking stuff, you know.
Woodworking.
But today, a lot of pastors are really involved in the internet.
Yeah.
You may be surprised at this. I've only been in one chat room my entire life.
I haven't been in any.
No, I know, because you don't know how to turn the computer on. But
you're pretty close.
It's called Quora, and it's a bunch of religious people. And so they were asking, what got me, my son wanted me to get in there because they were asking questions like, is not the God of the Muslims the same as the God of the Jews, the same as the God of the Christians?
You couldn't resist that.
No, I couldn't resist that. And so they were slamming me for about 3 weeks, you know. But I just signed it Mark Smith, so I didn't have to worry. But it's really quite amazing. People have been arrested. Because, see, when you go on the computer, it knows everywhere you go.
Right.
You know, the folks who run, like I'm with Charter, some people are with AT&T. There's now a new program out that it hides who you are, where you go, which is really kind of interesting. So that's going to cause a lot of people to be tempted more.
We talked about paper trails.
Yes.
On computer, you leave a, what would you call that, cyberspace trail?
I think that's a way of saying it. Yeah. I don't know the technical stuff. But they can go in and find. And a lot of people don't understand when you delete something, it's not deleted. In fact, I guess I can share this, but there was a group who took their website off, but we had to find some information about what they had had on it. And we were able to find it because nothing is lost.
Nah.
No. You just have to get the right codes, and even if somebody's taken their website off the internet, you can still get the history of it. It's really amazing. The techniques that the police have at their disposal. And that's why people are arrested for child pornography.
Sure.
and this kind of thing. Now, they say the vast majority who are looking at sexually inappropriate material are millennials. Those are Americans born between 1980 and 2000. Weren't you born in 1982?
No. I wish. Oh. No,
53. Yeah. Oh, wow.
I've got kids that were born in the 80s.
Yeah, I know, we all do. Yeah, so that's kind of interesting. They're just so into, well, how many accidents do you see where people are
texting
on their iPhones and things like that?
Yeah, kids that that were born in that age are a lot more computer literate, and they're more into texting and that sort of thing. And
now, it's kind of interesting when the secular world starts saying that there are things to be added to the seven gluttony sins. I'm wondering if this is one. What's your point on this? And by the way, any of you could phone up with a question on this. St. Louis is 505-7850 and toll free
1-800-730-2727.
It's in the third last paragraph. The most commonly admitted temptation is worrying or anxiety, which 66% admit to.
Well, I think that's, yeah.
Well, I'm not sure that's a sin.
Oh, yeah. Because, well, Jesus tells us not to worry.
So he wasn't worried in the Garden of Gethsemane. He wasn't anxious. Remember,
it wasn't sinful worry. How about that?
Well, thanks a lot.
You know, there's sinful anger. And there's righteous anger.
Well, that's a good point. But my point is you just can't blanket and say when somebody is anxious about something,
I'm not
that's
saying
a
it's
sin.
All sin. But you know,
well, some things are all
our
sin.
Lord does admonish us not to worry. You know, especially when we're praying, not to worry.
But then Jesus did worry, and
I think
he was anxious.
I think that, you know, I think that is a problem. I think worry and anxiety, the most commonly admitted temptation, yeah, I think that's a real problem today.
You're not worried about people who don't believe the gospel? You're not anxious about them?
I have care for them.
I'm concerned. See, when you say careful, that means you're full of care. And
yeah.
That's just a,
I don't know if I
have you ever,
I don't know if I would say I fret. I mean, you know.
Have you ever wept over Jerusalem?
No.
Jesus did.
Yes, I know.
Yeah. See,
I mean, that's a prayer we pastors need to pray continually, is that God would increase our love for the lost. That is true.
No, there's no doubt. I'm just against Barna's, and he's the one who did the poll, definition that worrying or anxiety is a sin. I just don't agree with that.
Okay.
Because if your child is in a car accident and you're worried about it, that's all you need to hear. You shouldn't be worried. Well, what are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
See, there are no promises from God to heal your child or that your child isn't going to die,
right,
or this kind of thing. So I think your point, as you thought about it a bit, is it's like anger. There is a sinful anxiousness and there is a unsinful anxiousness.
I guess I'd be inclined to equate worry with lack of faith in God's providence.
That's very good. In fact, that's the criterion how you decide which is which. When Jesus was anxious over the Garden of Gethsemane, he didn't have a lack of faith that he was going to the cross, but he also knew it meant that he would be deserted
separated from his Father.
Yeah.
Right.
My God, why have you forsaken
that's
me?
That's right.
And because of their great love, that made him so anxious that he almost had sweat as drops of blood.
Well, he was sorrowful to the point of death.
Yes.
There was concern that he might even die before the time.
Yes. So that, you know, that's an interesting passage, that God answered his prayer, it says. And
sent an angel to strengthen him. That's how he
in order that he wouldn't die at the
right.
wrong time.
That's right.
Isn't that something?
Yes.
The Father sent
the Son of God.
Yes.
The Almighty Son of God was strengthened by an angel.
But that the purpose was so he wouldn't die in the Garden of Gethsemane.
Right.
Because none of the fulfillment would have come about.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
He had to die on the cross. So isn't that's just really interesting.
It is.
Now they say 66% of adults admit to worrying or anxiety. That means 34% are lying. Who doesn't worry about something?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you love anybody with any degree, and see, that's why we as pastors, although we're to condemn people and accuse them of breaking the law, sin, we got to be careful what we call sin.
Right. You can't add to it or detract.
Yeah, and so if it's a worry out of love for someone, then that's okay. But if it's a worry because, as you said, we don't have faith in God's promises that things are going to work out, then that would be a sin. So a lot of times the old Adam is always worrying for the wrong reason, and the new man is always worrying for the right reason. That's how I understand that. Now, the next is procrastination, 60%.
I can believe that.
And how do you define that?
Procrastination?
Let me think about it. I'll get back to you on that.
Yeah, no, I'll tell you, I'm guilty of that.
I'll
be the first to admit it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, then you're not procrastinating.
But you know, I found that sometimes, when you procrastinate, these things have a way of working out anyway. Have you ever found that?
No.
Sometimes we fret and we worry,
oh, yeah,
like we say, about these things, and if you wait long enough, sometimes they take care of themselves. You know, it's like it's God's providence.
Yeah. It's like me not doing my income tax to the last minute, hoping that judgment day will come and I've saved all that time.
But it's right that we do. I tell you, we do procrastinate. That's
yeah, it's having the task and you just keep putting it
yes.
off.
Mm-hmm.
And in the parish, each pastor is a little different as to which ones he puts off.
Things that he likes to do.
That's right, that's right.
That's what he does right away.
Yeah, like I like doing bulletins, newsletters, administration, things like that.
See, I'm just the opposite.
Yeah, I
like doing
are.
Bible study and sermons.
Yeah, you're more like Pete
and I'll
Kurowski.
Put off the other stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, Pete and I were great as co-pastors.
Oh, yeah.
Because he just loved doing things that I had a hard time doing and vice versa. The next one is eating too much. 55%. Well, I'm glad I'm not in that category.
Lie number
11. you know, I'm going to write a paper on this that, like, Louise will give me a dinner, and it won't taste good. And I'll look at her and say, this is good for me, isn't it? She says, yes. And when it tastes good, I look at her and say, this isn't good for me, is it? Nope. But you wanted it. Yeah, each morning, she kind of makes me scrambled eggs with cheese in them when she's home. Oh, is that
you get
good?
That every morning?
Oh, my.
Oh, man.
And so we read.
You're a heart bypass waiting to happen, my friend.
We read an article on eggs and cheese, and she pointed out that that wasn't good enough. So I had eggs today without cheese, but I used tons of ketchup and barbecue sauce. Why is everything that tastes good bad for you?
I don't know. You'd think God would give us at least one vice, wouldn't it? Don't you? Wouldn't you?
No. No, he can't even afford one.
At least give us that.
No.
You know, that to be eat as much of whatever you want and not to get heavy or unhealthy.
Well, here's how I describe heaven. Is all that food's going to be available. None of it's going to put on weight. And you'll get to a point where you're full earlier.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and just not want to eat anymore. That's the problem. Like when I go to buffet, I've been in the practice.
Oh,
you just have to touch,
talk about ruminate.
Eat something from every.
Talk about ruminate. You know, we just graze on that.
No,
I don't go to those things anymore. I just graze at them.
Oh yeah, no. We had a party at Christmas, and they had hors d'oeuvres out and all stuff, and they started putting them away. And no, Louise says, don't. He grazes all night. That's the word she used. And I just love that. The problem with going to a buffet, you got to leave in an hour and a half because the rest of your people have finished eating. I prefer to have the buffet in the home and sit watching a football game for 4 hours and just eating slowly. And oh, is that ever? That's heaven. Okay. Now, this next part is interesting. Relatively few Americans admitted to being envious, only 24%.
The rest are liars.
Well, how about the next one? Lying or cheating, only 12% said that, so 78% are liars, too. I mean, you see, a lot of people don't realize what a lie is. It's sometimes we call them white lies to kind of cover yourself.
You know, envy, you know, that is, envy is something I do think you tend to outgrow at least somewhat. You're not as,
oh yeah.
I think as you get older, you're not quite as competitive in those things. I mean, hey, look, no, I'm not saying you're not capable of envy. I'm just saying,
right.
I'm just saying you don't become envy about the things that you were as a youngster.
And why is that? Because experience has shown you they didn't fulfill you anyway.
Right, exactly.
When I was learned to drive, every time I saw a car that had something new, I wanted to put it on. So I was using my mother's car, and by the time I finished, she was driving around in a four-shift Hertz on the floor with the front end up in the air, all the wheels blackened, curly things around the inside of the car all over the place, and hubs
and
on...
A pair of fuzzy dice hanging out.
No, I never had the fuzzy dice. I had a lot of Roman Catholic friends, so I had a big statue of Joseph I put up there.
Joseph?
Yeah. He's the one for cars, you know. And so we would all laugh about that, but I never did have an accident. I was lucky.
little did Joseph know that he would be sitting on the dashboard of
a Lutheran pastor to be. But yeah, you know what my GPS is in the car I have? I bought a little world globe. I just stick it up there. Well, the United States is around here somewhere. You know, it's really interesting that people, very few, think that they're envious, that they lie, or they're cheating. And that's where particularly Lutherans with our understanding of law can help a person see there isn't a sin you don't commit.
Well, just think of the last two commandments. If you think you're lily white and not a sinner, just look at the last. I think that's why God gave us those last two commandments of coveting.
Coveting,
if you
yes.
think that you're lily white, just look at those commandments and know that you're not.
Now, I mean, that leads into
sins
an
of the heart.
Interesting item. Murder is not only the act of murder, it's the thought and also the word.
Just hatred. Even.
Yeah, hatred or saying bad things.
Right.
So in confirmation, I always taught that every commandment is broken not just by thought or
word
or
indeed.
Okay, how does that happen with covet? Have you ever thought about that?
No, that's just of thought.
No, it's all
right?
Three. It is all three.
It is.
Yes.
It includes the outward act too?
Yep. And here it is.
Well, it bears fruit in that, but no kidding, that is part of that commandment.
The difference between coveting something by act and stealing, when you steal it, it's immoral, but it is also against the law.
Right.
When you covet something, it's immoral, but it's not against the law.
Yeah.
So let's say somebody wants to borrow money from me and I charge them 80% interest, you know, because I know, and they have something on like a house or something like that. Even the government recognizes you can't go that high. That's called coveting. It wouldn't be against the law, you know, like the tax collectors. They coveted the money. They were not breaking the laws of the Romans to allow them to be tax collectors. So coveting is... When, for example, in the area of maybe wanting to marry somebody who's already married, you start rumors or something against her husband, and she leaves him, and now she's available.
Right.
So that I did a study on that word for covet, and it means to sin even though it's not illegal.
Oh, I see. Yeah. So that's another way of understanding it, sinning even though it's not illegal.
Yeah. For example, David coveted Bathsheba.
Right.
So he did murder Uriah, but now it left her free to be married. Yeah. So the marriage wasn't illegal.
Just like adultery. I mean, just common adultery is immoral, but not necessarily illegal.
That's well said. Yeah, yeah. And so, I did a paper on how I can't believe this. I covet the time here, and guess what? It's over. Well, that took care of that hour. Or half hour or whatever. So, church services.
Yes, 5 o'clock Saturday evening and 9 o'clock Sunday morning.
Tomorrow,
Prince of Peace Lutheran Church.
On Law and Gospel, I'm going to have Diana Haskell on again. She's at, plays in the symphony, clarinet, and perhaps Reverend Golden. And we're going to be talking about the Quartet for the End of Time by Olivier Messiaen. He did it in a Nazi prison tomorrow. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on KFUO Radio. You can write Pastor Tom at KFUO Radio, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. Law and Gospel is archived for your listening convenience at KFUO.org.